My name is Tina Battefeld, and I'm just chairman of the Road Warriors, a group of the rank and file that is taking the solidarity across the country, asking for support, solidarity.
And Tina, how do you spell your last name?
B-A-T-T-E-F-E-L-D.
Okay, and the pronunciation on that again is Battefeld?
Battefeld.
Battefeld, okay, very good. Tell us what the situation is there, first of all. I mean, some of our listeners are probably not aware of what's going on there, so just give us an overview of what has happened and what the situation is now.
Well, back in January of 2005, we had a corporation come in, a multinational corporation come in by the name of Celanese, and bought out a majority of the factory down here. The rest of it is owned by National Starch and Chemical. June the 5th of 2005, they locked us out of our work. At that time, they had offered us a contract that was so open-ended, we had no idea what the insurance was going to cost us, whether there was caps on it. There was no information to be able to sign. It was almost like signing a blank contract, and they was going to fill in the blanks later. In August of last year, they did come back to the table, but at this time they did regressive bargaining, which they offered to cut our wages by 33%. They pretty much wanted to change the contract language, the retirement plan, the insurance, you name it, and they went backwards on it. NLRB charges have been filed since this time. And at the regional office, they was found to be guilty of surface bargaining and regressive bargaining, and it was considered an illegal lockout from its inception. But Celanese sent in one of their corporate lawyers, and after this, they sent the charges out to Washington, D.C., where they're still sitting now, being proofread to make for sure the I's are all dotted and the T's are crossed, apparently, before they are brought back out. Since that time, there has been very, very few discussions with the union and the company, and they pretty well, any time there is a discussion, it goes. They want to go even farther backwards. So 9 months later, or almost 9 months later, we're still pretty much at a standstill here.
Now, this is a chemical plant, is that right?
Yes.
And how many workers are we talking about here that belong to the union?
Our local at the time of the lockout was approximately 150 people.
And that's Boilermakers, right?
Boilermakers 484.
All right. One of the things that I've heard and that I really wanted to talk to you about was the extreme nature of what this company has done in using the Special Response Corporation security.
Oh, yes.
Tell us what that's been like.
Well, they film us at the line 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which that's when we man it. But going beyond that, they have come out into our neighborhoods. They filmed us and our family, our children in the yards playing. We've got one member that his daughter, 12 years old, was filmed swimming in her swimming pool, and she wasn't even able to go out into the pool for the rest of the summer for fear of that. I personally looked out the front window of my house, and when my husband yelled at me and said, "Look at this," and I've got a big picture window, and the SRC was sitting out there with a camera pointed toward my window. Probably about 2-3 weeks ago, maybe a month, one of the members followed the SRC driving around our grade school playground. I mean, there's no reason for them to be around, you know, the children at a play, you know, at a grade school. So the harassment level is just fundamental down here. I guess it's intimidation, harassment, or I have no idea.
That's extremely. I mean, that's so thuggish and so disgusting for them to do something like that to people's families. That it's almost beyond belief.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that should be in a modern times. No, I mean I don't know how to explain even how we're emotionally dealing with this. All of us are taken in different ways, but But when you've got your family members at home worried about what they're doing, what moves they're making, because they, you know, a camera on them, there's no logic to it.
And these guys are they pretty much paramilitary in the way they look? I mean, they have the uniforms and the intimidation going on in that way too. I mean,
oh yes, and they love to tell you they're ex-military and ex-police.
So they're on duty at the picket line too, where I understand you're limited. The union is limited to having just six people on the picket line.
Right, they've got an injunction against us that pretty well limits us on much of anything. I mean, it limits us on our freedom of speech. You know, it's just gone to extremes.
Tell our listeners what you just how you feel about this whole thing, and what you'd like to see happen.
Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty much tore us up emotionally, physically. As far as how you feel, I mean, how do you feel when you thought you lived in a country of America? You know, where you got up of a morning, you went to work, you was proud of your, you know, doing your job, you was proud to raise your family, and now you're living in a place that you feel so insecure for your children, your grandchildren, you know, your spouses. There's just really no explaining how this feels. I never thought I would see that in this country. And as far as what I would like to see happen, if I had my wish, I guess I would say that we could have our jobs back. We're all wanting to go back to work. I mean, this place has run for approximately 50 years down here, and there's only been one other labor dispute in the whole time, and it lasted 6 weeks, and it was back in, I think, 1973. So it's not like we're people that don't get along, that don't want to work. We've got members that are locked out that's worked down there 32 years. You know, there's no such, you know, there's loyalty with us to the company, or was, but then this is the way they paid us back.
What can the public do, if anything, to help you, to support you, and what can other members of the labor movement do to help and support you?
Well, a lot of it is the encouragement that we hear from people, and we do, you know, we have a Solidarity Defense Fund that we take donations for. We have the Adopt a Family program. Celanese has a ethics hotline, if anybody would want to call that and tell their opinion. It's 866-348-4223, and you will speak to a person, an individual, and they ask, you know, they pretty well tell you that they treat their employees good, and you know, they just want your opinion of how wonderful of a outfit they are.
Tell us a couple of, but before I let you go, a couple of details about the plant. Now, this, tell us what it makes and whether it was profitable or not.
It's a very profitable company as far as what we'd ever known down here. But we make adhesives, different forms of wood glue, paper coatings. The hot melt department is the glue that sticks box lids together, you know, the melted glue that goes on boxes to glue that together. There's the personal care items, which is the sticky stuff that goes into hairspray, along that line.
And when this happened, when you were locked out, and did they just bring in full-time permanent replacement workers? Is that what happened?
Well, to begin with, they brought in people from, I would imagine, from other Celanese corporations and National Starches, or other companies, I should say, that came down here because they came from all over the country. Now, as the last few months, they've been hiring in what we call the local scabs that pretty much are run-of-mill themselves. And they're supposed to be hired, I guess, on a temporary basis is the way they put it, because, you know, of it being a lockout.
All right. And are there any talks going on between your union and the company right now?
The company pretty well doesn't want to. They just pretty much refuse to talk.
And are you still pursuing charges at the National Labor Relations Board?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so that's still pending.
Yes, it is.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Tina, just to sum up here? We have to conclude now, but is there anything else you'd like to say just to sum up?
Well, I guess in a way what you'd say is we're a small community of 1,100 people, and, you know, we're fighting this fight, and it's not just for us. It's pretty much for everybody in this country, because this is becoming a trend everywhere. And what I'd like to see is the story get out and other stories of other struggles, and people stand up together, stand strong, stand up against what these corporations are doing to the American people.